So we're live on Facebook right now. We're out there on YouTube and LinkedIn as well. So thanks for tuning in. 1 o'clock recording session. This is Las Vegas Real Estate Now. We're recording for our show for this Saturday. It'll air March 2nd, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KDON. I got to be careful about that a little bit. So on KDON, 101.5 FM is where you'll hear it. The topics today include a variety of things, and we've got, you know, we've got a merger of grocery store chains, which is impactful in our valley because they're basically the two major chains here. And then we've got an article in the paper stating that our real estate market is being strangled, which is that's the way headlines work. I love headlines. And then how our market's starting to attract more diversity, biotech companies, which I think is really good. It's an important factor. And I know Rick Senemy's here from Equity Title, and he's going to talk about fraud. We talk about fraud a lot, but we do it for a reason.
A lot of fraud.
There's a lot of fraud, and we need to make sure people are aware of it. So let's go ahead and just get on with the show here. I'm going to go ahead and just start segment one. Get my timer ready. Here we go. Segment one. Welcome to our show. This is Las Vegas Real Estate Now, where we bring you the three E's: educate, empower, and engage. We want to help you to make your real estate decisions wise ones for you and your family. I'm your host, Harvey Blankfeld, the Mullen Blankfeld Group at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, and we have over a century of collective real estate experience. I'm a licensed agent here in Nevada. My NRED number is S.0048897. On this program, we're dedicated to delivering timely, balanced truths about our local market conditions. If you ever have a question or an idea for the program, please call or text me at 702-203-1165. Again, that's 702-203-1165. Today on our program, we have Rick Senemy here from Equity Title. Welcome back, Rick.
Thanks for having me again, Harvey.
Glad to have you back. You know, Rick, I want to talk to you about the same topic we talk about quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's fraud. And we talk about this, you know, a lot, guys. And the reason we do that is because we just don't want any one of our listeners to ever get caught this way, because it's devastating. And these are big numbers. We've talked about this
very
before.
Very big numbers, right.
We've talked about this before. You know, bad guys are watching your email, and just assume they are. And in doing so, they're waiting for that big transaction. That big transaction is real estate. When they see one, that's when they're going to jump in and try to steal your money from you.
And there's been a lot of variations of fraud that we've seen over the last 10 years.
Right.
With mainly, we can blame technology. You know, technology is great, but it also has its downside.
Indeed.
Part of the downside is how much information is readily available to people now.
Right.
Right. I mean, everything is available online. We can find the information. And with housing, everything's public information.
Indeed.
So you can, as a consumer, you can pull a lot of these documents that are legal documents because they are public information. But different types of fraud that we're encountering, one that I've talked about many a times on the show, is wire fraud.
Yeah.
Wire fraud in general is just somebody's trying to intercept your wire. Either you're sending a wire or receiving a wire. Somebody, a bad guy, is trying to get in the middle of that and get their wiring instructions inserted so that they get the money.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And it's not little dollar amounts. You know, they don't usually pick on the couple thousand dollars. They pick on the big dollar amounts, the
sure.
20, 30, 40, 500,000.
Yep.
Those amounts. And like you had mentioned, they're usually in your email. They're usually watching, and they're just sitting back waiting for the right time.
Yep. Yeah. The right time is when you're in a real estate transaction.
Right.
That's when it is. Yeah.
Largest amount of money that you're typically ever going to send over a wire is for a house. It could be all cash transaction. It could be with financing. It doesn't matter. They'll target them all.
Right.
Some of the things I like to talk about, what you can do to protect yourself.
Okay.
One, check your email. Check your settings in your email. Especially, a lot of people have the free service emails, and there's nothing wrong with them. I think I have every one of them.
Yeah.
But check the settings so that you are sure there's no one in there. And normally what happens is, in the settings, there's a forwarding that's put on where they will forward the email to their own database, and that database is then scanning the data in that email to see if that's ready to jump in yet.
Right.
So that's one. Make sure there's no unknown forwards on. The second thing is, make sure you have antivirus software and malware software up to date. It's important to make sure that at least have that line of defense. hopefully it's, maybe they're not in your email, maybe they're lurking on your computer as a virus and it hasn't been picked up. The other thing is that if you're sending money, call the people you're sending the money to on a number that you've already spoken to them with.
Right.
And verify those wiring instructions. If you're not uncomfortable doing that, we will hand you our wiring instructions if you come to our office.
Do it in person.
Do it in person. We'll give you the wire instructions. You show us your ID. We make sure a party of the transaction. We'll hand you the wiring instructions. And then you can wire us the money. When we're wiring money out to consumers for closings, we go through a lot of checkpoints to make sure that we are actually sending it not only to the registered owner, but the actual seller of that property. That is very important. You know, if you're going to your real estate closing, bring a voided check.
Yeah.
We don't ask for those anymore, but we're starting to again.
I think it's smart. Yeah.
Just because it's very hard to duplicate a check being ripped out of a checkbook if people still have those and, yeah, and give it to somebody, right?
Yeah.
And there's other softwares that we use that we will do, we call account validation. If you're with one of the larger banks, we can actually validate that you own that bank account. And we also do another service called Certified, where we send you a link and you have to prove it's you through questions.
Okay.
And then you enter your wiring instructions and then we actually insure that as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So a lot of things that we're doing to protect the consumer in that, but at the same time, it's a two-way street. The consumer has to protect themselves as well.
Yeah.
And it's okay to question things. Please question stuff. We want you to.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're going to be the one that gets falls victim to it. And wire fraud, like I said, I've been on the show now for probably 8 years.
Yeah.
It has definitely been a hot topic, and now we're getting into other fraud that I don't think people realize how bad it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and it's not just, at first it was absentee owners, meaning an owner who lived out of state but owned a home here or owned vacant land here in Las Vegas, and it was free and clear, right? That was the low-hanging fruit. We are now dealing with identity theft / absentee owner that has mortgages on it. I mean, the bad guys are nice enough to pay off the mortgage and go through with this transaction.
Wow. That's a new one for me.
In order to not draw any red flags. We have two deals right now. And then this is the first one is absentee owner. He's out of state, free and clear property. Deeded it over to his friend.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now the friend is selling the property.
Wow.
Well, as you know, sometimes we need what's called an uninsured deed affidavit.
Right.
Saying, did you sign this? Couldn't get a hold of the original owner.
Uh-oh.
So we actually have fraud in place right now where somebody signed a deed on behalf of this owner, and now they're trying to resell the home.
Wow.
So from a title standpoint, we caught it before any damage to us, but unfortunately we have a seller, or not, excuse me, we have a homeowner who no longer owns a home.
Wow.
We have a guy in the middle who we're not sure if he's the bad guy or if he got swindled by a bad guy.
Oh, okay.
So we're still trying to figure that out. But the reason I bring that up is because a lot of people always look at the seller side of it, of what happens with the seller, right?
Right.
The home was sold. The seller no longer owns it, even though they never wanted to sell it. The proceeds are sent away to the bad guy because they gave that information. But you also have a buyer. You have a buyer who bought the home.
Right.
And that buyer has to go through the process of doing two things. One, they're going to get sued as a buyer. They're going to get sued by the original seller.
Wow.
Right? So that right there triggers what's, quote, the potential loss.
Right.
From that point, you hope they did it with a title company who has title insurance.
Yeah.
Because then they can put a claim in.
Right.
And then we'll step in and we'll start unwinding this to figure it out. We have a case right now that we're doing that exact thing.
I see.
It was a bad sale. It was fraudulent. You know, we were able to catch it immediately at the time, but we have to unwind it and go through the process of it. And it's not quick. It's not like, oh,
yeah,
we made a mistake. Here you go. Here's your house back.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of dollars where you have to vet that out.
Right.
And so it is definitely a process, but it's not just the seller who lost the home is a victim. The buyer who purchased that home, they had money that went into it for closing costs. They had, you know, down payment money. Now they don't own a home. They moved. Fraud hurts everybody around in the transaction. So you need to be leery, be aware. We're seeing more and more of it. We're implementing more and more software as much as we can.
Right.
I mean, and we're even taking steps back to go, we call it the Stone Age security. We're going back to where, look, signing in the office, bring a voided check, you know, all those things that we did 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
Because
they were more secure.
They were actually more secure.
Yeah.
Because we didn't rely heavily on this data transmission of back and forth. So it is definitely something that we are in tune with, keeping an eye on and monitoring, because it'll wipe out people.
Yeah. It's devastating.
One wire fraud, $100,000 wire for somebody, that could be their life savings.
It's devastating, yeah.
Right.
So, hey, listen, we're coming up on a break. We're going to run a few commercials. A couple of takeaways that I want to talk about from what Rick just explained to everybody. But we're going to do that right after the break. So, guys, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. Carly, would you bring me that bottle? I forgot to bring my water over.
He's parched.
Thank you.
I'm chatting so much.
Only my good side today.
Okay.
No, I hardly got a word in edgewise. Rick was, you know, he was running. He was on a roll.
That was good.
He was on a roll there.
Talk for like an hour on this one.
I'll bet. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to do some takeaways first, and then we'll get into some of the other stuff. All right, segment two. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Harvey Blankfeld. You're listening to Las Vegas Real Estate Now. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. You ever have a question or an idea for the program, please call or text me at 702-203-1165. Again, that's 702-203-1165. With me now in studio, we have Rick Senemy here from Equity Title. He's the chief operating officer there. And Rick was going into a whole bunch of fraud stuff there in that first segment.
A lot of fraud.
You know, it's a couple takeaways I want to share with the listeners. Number one is that he said something that I think is really poignant. He says, when you want to confirm that you're sending it to the right place, make the phone call to the people you know. Because in the email with the bad wiring instructions is going to be a phone number that they're going to ask you to call, and it's a burner phone, and it's not really Equity Title or Harvey Blankfeld or Berkshire Hathaway. It's not them. It's the bad guys.
Right.
So call the people you know, people you've been talking to throughout the transaction. That's the first takeaway I wanted to share with you. The other is that, you know, you own a home. You've got to keep an eye on things.
Definitely.
You cannot just assume that everything's okay. You've got to, assumption's going to be a devastating thing if you're doing that. So make sure you're watching things. Make sure, first of all, sign up with the county for the recorder's office. Anytime something's recorded against you or your property, they'll send you a notification.
That's the best service that I've seen the county put out.
Yeah.
And it works. We've had clients where we've sold their home and they got notification.
Yeah.
And they've called us. And they've asked us, well, and, you know, we're confused at that point because we're like, yeah, you just sold your house.
Yeah.
You came in.
Yeah.
Did you really sell? Oh, yeah, we sold it. We just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Well, that's scary.
Yeah. It's like, you know, because in our world, somebody calls up and says that, our first thing is, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Fraud.
Yeah.
We put a lot of things in motion when we get that phone call. So, but yeah. Definitely sign up for that service. Best service the county
awesome
has set started for people.
The other thing is, as Rick talked about, when the buyer buys a house that really wasn't sold and they contact their title insurance company, that's why you're buying title insurance, guys. That's why it's there for everyone. Always asks me, well, do I really need that? Yeah, yes. You do. You kind of need that. It's really important. I know it seems like a big expense, but it's a one-time expense.
Right.
You're not paying for it forever. You pay for it at your closing, and then it lasts forever.
More or less, as long as you don't transfer ownership or do something.
Right.
But
it covers you in case there is a fraud, in case there is something that happens. And so that's why you want to, I can understand fussing. Every expense at closing is difficult to kind of deal with, but truth of the matter is they're all important. And title insurance is very important.
Right. And the interesting thing on the title insurance side on that really quick, Harvey, is typically in a transaction, not always, so don't quote me on that, the seller is the one paying for the policy that you want the most, which is the owner's policy.
Owner policy, yeah.
That protects you.
Right.
The owner's policy protects the new owner of the home. The lender's policy protects
the lender. Yeah.
So you need to make sure you have an owner's policy. And let me tell you how important title insurance is. Ask a lender to lend on a property without title insurance and see what they say.
Yeah, never going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
So
therefore, these are the people putting up the money. They want insurance on it. that's a pretty good indication that you should probably have insurance on your money too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, and I think it's a great lesson. It's a valuable lesson. And look, we're not here to scare people away from real estate. That's not our objective here, guys. We want to make sure that you're just careful and cautious. That's why you want to have a good, trusted real estate professional helping you out through a transaction. Certainly, I'm happy to help my listeners anytime they need that kind of assistance. But hopefully, you have a trusted realtor that's going to help you through the transaction. That's kind of what we do. We guide you through this, help you through the escrow process, the inspection, right, the appraisal, the lender stuff, all that. That's what we're here for. So bear that in mind. And know that fraud is an industry, as Rick has said before.
Industry.
It's an industry.
Billion-dollar industry.
Billion-dollar industry. So know that there's people out there with bad intentions. And again, the other thing is assume, whether you check it or not, assume there's somebody bad watching your emails. Just assume it. Just take every precaution in your emails to assume that there's a bad guy reading your emails and looking for an opportunity to steal money from you.
Nothing's private anymore.
It isn't. Yeah. That's just the way life is right now. All right. So let's go. We're recording this on Wednesday, which is, the 27th? Is it the 27th? Yeah. 28th.
28th.
Forgive me. 28th. That's right. Because this is a leap year. It's a leap year. I keep forgetting. It's a leap year. But we're airing on Saturday, and Saturday's March 2nd. And March 2nd is a very important date. Very important
date.
Carly knows. It's Helene's birthday. So just quick little note out to Helene. Happy birthday.
Okay. It's my daughter's birthday, too.
Is it really?
March 2nd. So.
And what's your daughter's name?
Jordan.
Jordan. Happy birthday, Jordan.
Happy birthday, Jordan.
Happy birthday. Okay. So let's talk about some things I found in the paper. The first one is there's an article in the paper that was written, and the headline is low supply, high mortgage rates strangling, I love that word, Las Vegas real estate market. Okay, and this is written by Patrick Blennerhassett, and it's in the RJ. And
is this a new guy?
Yeah, he took over. Yeah,
did he?
Yeah, he took over. And he's actually quite good. He's very accurate. And when you get into the meat of the article, it's not quite so devastating. But the Las Vegas Valley, and I'm going to quote from the article, Las Vegas Valley has seen a dramatic drop, 34% in home listings from January 2023 to January of this year, according to multiple listing service data. But the average home price in the Valley increased by $20,000 during the same time to $445,000. Okay, so here's what's happening. We've talked about this before, guys. The inventory has dropped. It's less out there, but there's also fewer buyers because of high interest rates. So the commentary of strangling our market is maybe a little bit of hyperbole. Maybe it's a little over the top. But that's what headlines do.
And I think the high mortgage rates is misleading. Higher.
Yes, right.
Higher than what they were 2 years ago.
Great point.
Go back to 1980 and tell me if they're high.
Yeah, double digits then. Like,
so I think it's all relative. It's not, they're higher mortgage rates.
Yeah.
But we've been at this rate now for a year and a half.
Right. Yeah.
So is it really higher?
It's kind of normal. It's just the normal rate. Right. What we had before was abnormally low rates for a while, and everybody was... Now they're disappointed they didn't take advantage of it, and I understand that. I
bought my first house here in 1998, and my rate was 7.25%.
There you go.
And that's probably what you're getting today.
Yeah.
So I mean, now the price of the home was a little bit less, but
right.
So his income was a lot less, too.
I want to point out that we've had highs and lows the last few years. Again, from the article, home sales in the Valley hit record highs in 2021 during the pandemic when more than 50,000 units, I love that word, units. It's homes, guys.
Homes.
Were sold. That number dropped to around 35,000 in 2022 and under 30,000 last year, which was the worst year for sales in the Valley since 2008. Okay, now, again, you say the worst year for sales in the Valley. It's not the prices went up, guys.
Right.
It's not the worst year in terms of the pricing. It's only the worst year in terms of the number of homes that were sold. And the number of homes sold was the lowest number since 2008. But price, it did not affect pricing because there were fewer sellers, fewer buyers. The market just shrunk. It was some realtors are saying it's like half, but it's not quite half. It's about 30% off, give or take.
It's down.
Yes, the numbers are less than they were. Okay, but it's to say again, to go back to that, to the headline and talk about the idea that it's strangling our market. I mean, it's limiting our market. Let's just say that.
And I'll say this. I mean, if you want to pull that headline apart, it's not the high mortgage rates that are strangling the market.
Right.
It's the low supply.
Low supply.
If you throw another 3,000 homes on the market, they're gonna move.
No doubt. Yeah, so, there's buyers out there right now who are struggling to find a home again.
Right.
Because, not because of rates, but you're right, because of availability, because of inventory. And so that's a challenge. And so you're seeing some homes that go out there and they're priced right, they're getting multiple offers again. And that's where we are right now.
We're seeing a lot of new escrows that have the sellers multiple offers and their counter offers of, you know, saying that they've received multiples. I mean, so we're definitely seeing how it was a few years ago.
Indeed.
It's just that, yeah.
It's a different reason now.
There's not as many units being sold.
Units. Right. Okay. Yeah, love that word. Okay, so look, and then I'm looking at the article, and I see my good friend Pete Torsiello's in his photo of his sign. How can I get my sign in these RJ articles?
You gotta call that guy.
I gotta call these guys and tell them, hey, let's get
Harvey's. Well, I mean, look, they got this guy in the article, but they quoted somebody else.
Oh, yeah, no, they would never do that. Yeah,
they're like, that's free advertising. I think they were missed out. They should have charged that guy.
Yeah, I'm sure Pete's actually pretty happy to see his signs in the newspaper. But nonetheless, hey, guys, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to run a few more commercials and come back. And after the break, we're going to talk about grocery stores. Grocery stores here in Southern Nevada. So stay tuned, guys. We'll be back in just a minute. Yeah. Strangling
the market. I mean, you look at the numbers, it's pretty bad, but...
Yeah,
as far as closed units, again, but
yeah,
I mean it.
Yeah, I mean volume's off for good reason. You know, we understand why. I mean, there's sellers out there with 3% mortgages who don't want to sell.
Right,
I understand that. And there's buyers out there who are disappointed they didn't get 3%. So you know, it the inventory is low because of it too. It's all revolving around that. But it's starting to soften now. People are starting to get used to the idea. Hey, you know what? We're not going to see 3%.
Right,
because they're not. I mean,
well, and then everyone posts about, oh, you're going to see 6 rate cuts this year.
Yeah, I know. We might not see quite that many.
You might not see any, to be honest with you. But
yeah, they're still trying to get to 2%. Yeah.
That ain't happening.
Good luck with that. Anyway. All right, segment 3. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Harvey Blankfeld. You're listening to Las Vegas Real Estate Now. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. You ever have a question or an idea for the program, please call or text me at 702-203-1165. Again, that's 702-203-1165. You heard Rick talking in the first segment about fraud and making sure, you know, you want to make sure you're working with the right escrow company. And if you want to talk to Rick about having his company handle your escrow, by the way, the clients get to choose the escrow company, not the agents. I mean, we can recommend them, and I do recommend Rick, but it's not my choice. It's the client's choice. So if you're listening to this and you say, gee, I want Equity Title to handle my deal because they're on top of this whole fraud thing, then you make sure you tell your agent, hey, no, I want Equity Title to handle my escrow. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you have a question, you want to talk to Rick personally, just text Rick to 702-203-1165. Again, 702-203-1165. I'll put you in touch with Rick, and he'll help you with your escrow. He'll help you pull information on your property, too.
I'd love to.
Yeah. We love it when listeners reach out to us. Okay, guys, I found another article in the paper, and I thought this was interesting. I heard about this a few weeks ago. Actually, this started a few years ago, but I heard about it a few weeks ago. The Federal Trade Commission, okay, the headline is, why does FTC think Kroger-Albertsons merger would be bad for grocery shoppers? Okay, so... You can't see this on radio, but Rick's rolling his eyes.
I just can't believe that's what they are worried about.
I know. So this is written by Deanne Durbin of the AP. She's a business writer for the AP. And in the article, they're talking about the idea that we've got this merger. So the interesting thing about these two companies is that they're dominant. You know, and I'll go into the article. I'm going to read from the article. Most Americans have filled a basket at Albertsons or Kroger store, even if the sign up front had a different name. Kroger, based in Cincinnati, Ohio, operates 2,750 stores in 35 states, and the company's 19 brands include Ralph's, Smith's, King's Supers. Whoa, that's a good one. Fred Meyer, Food for Less, Mariano's, Pick and Save, Harris Teeter. Albertsons, based in Boise, Idaho, operates 2,273 stores. I didn't realize they were that big. In 34 states, and its 15 brands include Safeway, Jewel Osco, Vons, Acme, Shaw's. Together, they employ about 700,000 people. Okay.
It's a big company.
Now, interesting thing. Cities where Kroger-owned and Albertsons-owned stores now vie for customers include, and very first one is Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, Denver, Phoenix, Dallas, Chicago, and the District of Columbia. So these are cities where... they're both operating, and they're both competing with one another. So that's 9 cities. 9 cities, we'll say, that they're doing out of 35 states. 9 cities have both of them in them. And that's why the FTC is upset, saying in those 9 cities, you're going to eliminate competition.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
You're going to close doors. You're going to cut employees. You're going to streamline your operation to make more money.
And yet they're promising they won't do that. They're saying that they're not going to close any stores. They're actually going to increase benefits. They're going to be able to save a lot of money because they're going to be able to leverage themselves. And the reason they're doing it is because they want to go after Amazon, Walmart, and Costco, the big players in all the markets. And they're trying to compete with those guys. And those guys get better pricing because they have higher volume. And so these guys are trying to compete with them, and that's why they want to merge. But the FTC...
Well, there's my answer.
Yeah. Yeah. It says the deal would eliminate competition that now exists between Kroger and Albertsons. And without competition, buyers would see higher prices, lower quality, and fewer shopping choices.
Where do you shop, Harvey?
You know, I'm all over the place. I used to shop. There was a Vons that used to be near my home. They've actually closed. They closed about 3 months ago.
Okay.
That was at Durango and Desert Inn. Durango, okay. Desert Inn. There was a Vons there.
That closed?
Yeah, it closed. Oh. Yeah, it was weird. I thought they did pretty well there, but they closed. So we shop at a variety of places. There's a Smith's near us. I go to. There's a brand new store that just opened up that I can't even remember the name of it now. Yeah, what was it?
La Bonita or
Cardenas. Cardenas. They have nice produce in there. They have really good produce.
They do.
And Spartan Final is another place I shop. And I found them by accident, but they have really nice they have really nice produce as well. And that's kind of how I judge a store, is the produce and the meats. Because everything else is in cans and packages. That's pretty easy to maintain. But those are the places that I shop. But the point that they're making is that they're afraid of competition. The truth is, it's only 9 cities, guys. I mean, look, they're going to compete with each other in other markets and with other competitors in other markets. So they're really, those 9 cities shouldn't take that big a hit, I don't think.
I've been in this city for 30 years now.
Right. Okay.
And I remember, and there's some truth to, hey, they're going to close some stores down. I mean, where I live in Green Valley, I know of 2 locations that now have finally, one of them has a tenant in it.
Okay.
La Bonita went into one of the old. It used to be a Lucky's grocery store if you're around that long.
Okay. Wow.
It was, and then it went to Albertsons, and it closed. And
yeah.
That, and then right by my house was an Albertsons that converted to a Food for Less that then converted to an empty building.
Oh. Okay.
But you know, there's a lot of grocery stores within a mile of my house. I'm thinking.
You've got choices.
I got a Vons, I got an Albertsons, I got a Smith's, I have a La Bonita.
Okay.
You can expand 2 miles. You can throw in a Cardenas is in there now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of competition out there, but at the same time, you know, if it's going to benefit the consumer, then I'm kind of for it because I know what I'm paying at the grocery store right now.
Yeah.
And it's lot more than what I used to.
These guys compete with each other, but they also compete with Walmart.
Right.
They compete with Amazon. And in order for them to be effective in doing so, what they're saying is, hey, guys, we want to combine forces and compete with these guys who are offering better deals than we are.
What about competing with the subscription-based places?
I mean,
I can tell you right now, I have two. I get fresh produce delivered to my house every week.
Wow.
Which is, and it's actually reasonable. It's not like, okay. I never thought I would do that.
And it's good. It comes in good.
It's packages. You get to pick. What you want.
Okay.
On Sunday, I go on there and pick what I want. Wednesday, it was sitting on my doorstep.
Nice.
So that's great. And then the same thing with meat. I get meat once a month that if I want to buy it or not, but I don't have to go to the store.
Interesting.
And then they don't even bring up the large – you got Sam's and Costco.
Right. Well, Costco was mentioned in this.
Okay.
Yeah, Costco is mentioned as having a dominant place in the market right now too. And Sam's is part of Walmart. So,
right.
So they're looking at those guys and saying, okay – And Albertsons and Kroger, these guys are looking at those guys saying, we need to compete with those guys.
Yes.
And you're telling us we can't.
Right.
So I'm with you on this one, Rick. Yeah, we don't always agree on these things, but I'm agreeing with you in this case. I don't see it as being a limitation to competition. I think it's giving these guys the ability to compete and maybe even beat those guys.
Right.
And certain elements.
And flat some prices out, too. I mean, that's the biggest issue is like you go into some of these stores. the prices on some of the groceries has just gotten outrageous. And you go to one store and it's one price. You go to another, it's another. Why?
Yeah.
You know, it should be with somewhat close, but right. I'm for it. I think they should, and I hope they...
I saw this morning on one of the programs that the Halim and I watch in the morning where they said grocery prices are up 25% from 2 years ago.
I believe it.
That's devastating. So look, let's not inhibit their ability to compete. Because I think instead of saying that they're going to inhibit competition by combining, I think that they're actually going to increase competition by combining and be able to compete with those big guys and ideally get us less expensive groceries at the local grocery store.
Exactly. If they can actually streamline their operation and become more efficient, they will compete with the Costco's, the Amazon's. I mean, not everyone needs a 50-pound bag of rice. So, like, I'll take the 1-pound bag every once in a while from a grocery store.
Right. I think rice lasts a long time, though. I'm not sure.
50 pounds is a lot.
50 pounds is a lot of rice. Yeah, we're not eating that much rice.
No.
No. You know, every now and then we sneak some potatoes in. I don't know if you're allowed to...
Oh, you have a beans. You get 50-pound bag of beans, too.
The dried beans, that's right. You get that big bag of dried black beans or...
Yeah, and Costco's my favorite store. Not an advertisement, but...
You know, Helene and I shop both Costco and Sam's Club.
Oh, definitely.
And we do both of them, and we alternate periodically between the two because they each have something that we like better than the other.
Yeah, Sam's have way better snacks. The snack
aisle, is that right?
The snacks aisle at Sam's is like the whole middle of the store.
Oh, that's true.
And
that's
Costco sells sweatshirts, which is fine, but I like the snacks better.
That's right.
So
yeah, the snacks at Costco are a little more bougie.
Definitely.
They're a little more
definitely more bougie.
Is that right, Carly? Bougie? Did I say that right?
Bougie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I said it right because I got to be cool too. I just want to say, hey, listen, guys, we're coming up on another break. We got more to talk about. We're going to talk about what's happening to businesses and how we're getting more diversity here in Southern Nevada. So stay tuned, guys. We'll be back in just a minute. Good. Yeah, Helene's birthday this weekend. Should I say how old she's going to be? Carly says no.
I wouldn't do it on the air. I'll tell you how old my daughter's going to be because it's not, you know.
Well, how old is your daughter going to be?
22. She'll be 22. I had to think.
I called your bluff.
I had to think. She'll be 22.
Nice. 22. You had a 22-year-old daughter, Rick?
I have a 24-year-old son.
Holy moly.
Hey, relax over there. Not yet, but... And I have a 24-year-old son, a 22-year-old daughter as of Saturday, and a 19-year-old daughter.
Mm. Oh. You're so, pregnant, and then you have the baby.
And then I have a 11-month-old.
You're a maniac, Rick. You're a maniac. Well, what can I say? Well, we're about to be grandparents, so...
Congrats.
It's going to be cool. That's going to be really cool. I got in the trunk of the car, I got like a, I don't know, was it a crib or a bassinet that we got for the kids? For, I don't know. You get stuff shipped here because you don't want to ship it at home because it sits on the front porch. That's God right. knows where it's going to go.
Listen, let me tell you, I've always been a dad from when my son was born, but the difference back then to now, so much easier now.
Mm.
The technology.
Yeah.
The bottle making machine, the bottle washing machine, like it does.
Oh, wow.
They got a machine for everything.
Really? Nice. Well, unfortunately, we don't have to worry about that. I mean, we'll just be, you know.
They have a Keurig for bottles.
Do they really?
Yeah, I have it. It's
really?
The best thing in the world. Put the bottle underneath, 6 ounces, hit the button, it spins the formula down this tube, adds warm water to it, falls right into the bottle.
Because my friend's having a baby in Maine, so it's Harvey's.
Called the Baby Breza, or whatever it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You got to get that.
All right. Baby what? Breza?
Breza. Brezza. It's Wi-Fi. I can make it from my bed.
Seriously?
Yeah. All right. I think we should get on to segment 4 here. All right. Let me get back to this.
Doing a lot of commercials today.
We are. We're selling stuff here. Not as much real estate as usual. Okay. So let me get to this article here, biotech. Okay. Here we go. Segment 4. Welcome back. I'm Harvey Blankfeld. You're listening to Las Vegas Real Estate Now. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. You ever have a question or an idea for the program, please call or text me at 702-203-1165. Again, that's 702-203-1165. With me now in studio, Rick Senemy here from Equity Title. Rick, we were talking about grocery stores before. Now I want to talk about our business community here and how it's becoming a little more diverse. And I think it's important for Las Vegas to become more diverse, and we've seen that happening over the last several well, about the last decade or two, actually. Right. We've seen things happen in terms of expansion with, you know, some of the big companies putting warehouses here and other things of that nature.
I think it started with distribution first. I think we were a great hub for the West Coast on distribution.
That's it. The location's ideal, right. Honestly. We're right in the middle of everything out west here, so that's what makes us really interesting. There was an article in the paper this past week, the headline being, Could Las Vegas Diversify Its Economy with Biotech? And there's a picture of Dr. Martin Schiller. He's the founder of Hellogenics. This is written by Sean Hammersmeyer of the RJ. It went out today. It just came out today, I guess, on Wednesday, the 28th.
You're a quick reader.
Yeah, I know. I just found this. And he's the executive director of the Nevada Institute of Personalized Medicine at UNLV. But while his day job's at UNLV, Schiller operates Hellogenics out of Roseman University, which is planning a $550 million expansion of its Summerlin campus that will add more office space and a medical school. Remember, we talked about this before. They're building a medical school in Summerlin.
Yeah.
Huge.
Another commercial I got. So Roseman has a small campus for orthodontics in Green Valley.
Is that right?
They do. And my older kids went there. Amazing. A lot cheaper.
They had their work done there.
They got their work done there. A lot better pricing. I will say that the appointments are a little bit longer because you have to have a student do the work and then a real doctor got to look at them. But that's fine. But it was about half the price.
I'm going to tell you something. I grew up in Baltimore and I had all my dental work done at the University of Maryland, including my orthodontia, and it was free.
Right.
Yeah. But you did. It was a day. You spent the day at the dentist.
Right.
I mean, literally all day at the dentist.
And I never had a bad experience with them. So if they're expanding and building more, that's awesome.
Love it. Yep. So they're expanding in Summerlin. But they're not the only entity expanding their research space. UNLV and the city of Las Vegas have been working to expand the Las Vegas Medical District near downtown, which houses UNLV's Kirk Kerkorian School of Medicine. And there's UNLV's 122-acre Harry Reid Research and Technology Park in southwest Las Vegas near a proposed 20-acre Clark County Innovation District designed to attract tech companies to the area. So the local municipalities are doing things to attract other businesses. I think it's particularly wonderful to see that our medical community is growing here, too, because we've not been known for our medical services here in Southern Nevada.
No, everybody says if you get sick, go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else, right.
So, yeah.
I remember years ago when our governor went to California to have a procedure done, and it was like all over the paper. It was a big deal. That was years ago.
Right.
I don't think that happens anymore. And we are getting – but this is interesting. In the article, they talk about Las Vegas's reputation. And – again, I'm going to read this from there. And they said, when trying to lure companies to invest in Hellogenics, Schiller said Las Vegas' reputation has a red flag for investors. He's had to rely on connections he made through his academic career to receive outside funding. Keenan said, one way for Las Vegas to change its reputation is to have existing companies gain national attention for new products and innovations. But the alliance also is working to attract established biotech companies to the region. So I think we're making strides to improve our reputation. I mean, there's a couple things we have. Number one is that very little chance for natural disaster here. So if you're building something, your building's going to survive. It's going to be okay. Whereas in other markets, you might have a hurricane, earthquake, you know, whatever.
I mean, it gets windy here.
Yeah, but you're not going to the wind's not going to knock any buildings down.
Shouldn't blow the building down, no.
No, it shouldn't happen. The other thing was that they said that our public was a service-based, we're a service-based industry. Most of the public here is not highly educated. That was the other issue with Vegas. I don't think it's as true anymore. Maybe we're a little more diverse in that area, and maybe we're getting a little better. Now that we're having medical schools here,
it's certainly changing. I don't think it's at the level that we want it to be, but it's definitely better than 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
I think we're seeing dramatic improvement in that, and that's why we're starting to see companies come here. And I think it'll only grow. I think it grows exponentially from there.
Oh, definitely does. And I think that, I can see it in two different areas of town right now. You go in North Las Vegas out by the Speedway.
Yeah.
The construction out there
huge
is ridiculous. For miles, warehouses for miles being built.
Yes.
And then you go into these pockets in other parts of town. Henderson, I'll give you an example. They tore down the Fiesta Casino that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't know what they're doing with that land.
Mm.
But around there, you're starting to see a lot more industrial stuff come in there.
Oh, okay.
Along Warm Springs Boulder Highway, Google built a huge plant.
Huge.
Out by the M Casino in Henderson. All of that, Amazon and their distribution. So you're seeing all these other companies come in, and medical is something that we need.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be great to get a different, different education facilities, as well as not just for the education, but for the teachers that are there, the doctors that are coming in the town that are going to run it.
Yeah. So. One of the big things we heard when the UNLV built the medical school was that a large percentage of doctors end up doing doing their residency and subsequently have their practice where they went to school.
Right.
And so having the school here is going to bring us more doctors
and
to our market.
I mean, there's a shortage.
There's a shortage all over the world and in the United States in particular, but in Las Vegas, definitely there's a shortage.
I called to
get a doctor's appointment anywhere.
I called for an appointment for my 11-month-old.
Okay.
Because we were supposed to get his eyes checked a couple months ago, but I forgot to call.
Okay.
So I called yesterday, and the lady was great on the phone, professional, everything, so much better than what it was in the past with dealing with doctors. May 7th is the first appointment. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
May 7th.
May 7th.
And this is the end of February. Wow.
Yeah.
That's tough. So, I mean, yeah, it's the way it is here. The medical community is not big enough for our city. It needs to continue to grow. So that's hopefully we'll see this attract even more doctors to our market, and they'll stay here because they're going to want to stay here. I think once you're here, I heard somebody say years ago when I first moved here, and I moved here in 1993, and they said, when you come to Vegas, you either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
And I've always heard that comment, but I think a lot more people are loving it than hating it, for sure.
Well, I also think the other part of that, too, is now that there's other jobs outside of casinos, you're seeing more people like it because they're not having to just go work in the casino industry, right?
Right.
Or the hotel industry. There's so much other industry.
Yeah.
And higher paying jobs.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, everyone asks about the real estate. Why is our pricing so high? You know, everyone's a valet person or a cook. No, they're not.
Yeah.
You know, there's actual jobs here. There's actual high-paying jobs here. So.
Not that we wouldn't love to see a little more entry-level pricing for real estate here. That's been an issue, and that's been talked about time and time again. We've talked about it on this program many times. We'd love to see more entry-level real estate opportunities for people, first-time home buyers. We'd like to see that. And I think that, again, so the municipalities are attempting to create incentives to make that happen. And I think, you know, I've talked to a couple of builders. We had a builder seminar here recently, and I'm going back into real estate for this for a very good reason. And a lot of them have decided to build some townhomes. A lot of them are building some smaller properties to make that entry level possible. And I think that's really critical for us. We need that.
Well, and the other problem here with the municipalities is they want to do whatever they can, but realizing their hands are tied, they don't own the land.
Well, yeah, no, it's
got that's the problem. It's all owned by the government, so we need to get the land from them so that the municipalities can grant them the tax-free zones and all those things to build.
Indeed. No, and that's what's going to happen. And look, it will happen because the market's going to demand it. You know, big companies, employers need people to live here, so there's got to be incentive for that to happen, and so it's going to happen. It's just a question of when, and hopefully sooner more rather than later. So that's one of our issues. But look, I love the idea that we're seeing the medical community continue to expand. You know, the Lou Ruvo Brain Center is huge here. That's internationally renowned. And the NFL is actually doing a lot of their studies right here in Las Vegas because they've had all those brain injury issues with the football players.
Right.
And then also they're doing a lot of work for Alzheimer's right there at the Lou Ruvo Center. And I think those are all, you know, again, let's have Las Vegas be known for, I think that it will become known in time as a medical destination. You know, I grew up in Baltimore. Baltimore was known for our medical services with Johns Hopkins and Maryland.
Right.
And, you know, you were never worried about finding a good doctor in Baltimore. You never thought about that. It was never a concern. I'd like to see us get to that point here in Southern Nevada. What a fun real estate hour. Got to thank Mark, our production director. Thank Carly once again for doing a great job. And I got to thank our outstanding contributor today, that being Rick Senemy from Equity Title. You've been listening to Las Vegas Real Estate Now. I'm your host, Harvey Blankfeld. Next week, we'll have a fantastic hour for you. We're going to have Darren Welsh, our general counsel from Berkshire Hathaway. And we're also have my partner, Cynthia Ward, here on the show. If you ever have a question about real estate or any of the other topics we cover, just call me off air or text me at 702-203-1165. Again, that's 702-203-1165. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's LV Real Estate Radio. Like and follow us on social media, our handle being at LV Real Estate Radio. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us this week. Remember, while we seek to educate, empower, and engage with you, we want you to learn, understand, and then act. We'll meet you on the radio next Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on KDON.